chapter 19 tonight.
It's been a while since we've been here in the life of David. And so we pick up an interesting account here, an important one, one that I'm certain will be a help to us. So 1 Samuel chapter 19, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And I'm going to read quickly here because I'm going to read through this chapter. It says, And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Saul's sons delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherein then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. He's one of these guys that just likes to throw out the Lord's name. It really means nothing to him. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. He's in trouble again. David's in trouble again. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And guess what happens next? And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul's messengers when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go, why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sichu. And he, I can't even see him, need my glasses here. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And he said, Behold, they are at Naoth and Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you.
Lord, I ask your blessing now upon the service. I pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you be glorified and honored in all that is said and done. Lord, please meet the needs that are here. Please help us to draw out the truth from your word of what's going on here so it can be a help to our life right now, Lord. Lord, so I beg you that you'd work. Father, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, David, of course, as we're into chapter 19, it's not new to him that Saul is trying to kill him. It has already happened a couple of times. We've already seen it take place. We go back to chapter 17, of course, where he kills Goliath. Saul brings him into his house, and everything seems to be going great until Saul hears the praises of the people upon David. And remember, the Spirit of the Lord's already departed from Saul. And so jealousy begins to creep in, and bitterness begins to creep in, and he begins to seek his life. He's tried several different times to kill him now. He's tried using, the army, sending him out to all these battles, hoping he would die in battle. That didn't take place. Then he even tried to use one of his own daughters. And when he found out, he promised him one daughter, and then he refused David to marry her. And then he found out that Michal did love David, so he was going to use that against him. And he tried to tell David, well, for the dowry, for the bride price, if you will, you're going to need all these, 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Of course, David doubled that. It was nothing for him. But again, Saul's intention was that he would die trying to accomplish that. But over and over, you'll see in those verses as we went through, especially chapter 18, where Saul was afraid of David. You remember why he kept on saying he was afraid of David? The Lord was with him. And he keeps forgetting that very thing that was producing his fear of David, that the Lord was with him. So now we come into chapter 19, and of course Saul has been on the rant at the end of 18 to kill David. And he's ordering all of his servants, his sons, we're going to kill David. And so Jonathan goes to his dad and says, listen, you can't do this. What has he done to you? Think about this. And Saul regains his senses. What he does is he gets just a proper perspective of what's really taking place for a short time. These clear, lucent thoughts were short-lived for King Saul. Most of the time, especially when the evil spirit came upon him, or any time you have a different type of rage or a jealousy or an anger that comes up, it's going to skew your thinking. That's what was happening to King Saul. He was forgetting about David did him no wrong. David didn't do anything wrong to him. And so anyhow, he promises before the Lord once again that I'm not going to kill David. You're right. And so I believe his heart's intention at that time, King Saul is unstable. I don't believe he's playing a hypocrite. This wasn't a trick. With his daughter, that was a trick. This isn't a trick. He has settled in his heart at that time that he's not going to kill David. David comes into the house. Everything's great until some battles kick up again. Guess who the heroes of the battle was again? Remember, at this time, we've already established this. David has earned the respect of everybody in that military, especially the generals. They saw the wisdom that this young, he's still a teenager. A lot of these battle plans were developed by David. They realized God was with him. And so some battles kick up. David is instrumental in them again. And the jealousy kicks up again. The evil spirit is now back. And once again, he goes to kill him. This time he's heading out. He tries to flee. He heads back home, but he word gets to him very quickly. Listen, he's really after. He's coming after the house. And his wife tells him, get out of the house. All right? She didn't want to see him killed. She loved him. You need to get out of the house. And she helps him escape. And it's interesting. I'll get to this later. She pulls up an image, which she should not have, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the message. And uses that to disguise it as if David is still sleeping on the bed and that he is sick and whatnot. And it worked for a little while until Saul said, just bring me the whole bed so I can kill him. And then they found out it was deceived. And they realized, and David makes a wise decision this time. Now David decides to go see the preacher. That's where he's going now. Now he says, I need to go see Samuel. And this is the first time in all of this of his trials that he makes that decision. It's also an interesting way in how we see God decide to protect David now. Not how any of us would have drew this thing up at all. And so David heads there, and where Samuel's basically in a retirement time here in his life, if you will. And he's basically just leading the school of the prophets. And that's where he's taking David at this time. That's where they end up going. Saul hears about it, and he sends the messengers out. He sends the first group out. They get to the school of the prophets. And if you will, basically a service was taking place. All right? By looking at the word of prophesying that was used there, they were singing at the time when the messengers arrived. Well, something happens to the messengers. And we're going to see from Psalm 59, these are not godly men. These are not your fine men of Israel that are going after David right now from Saul's army that are just godly and just can't wait to serve the Lord. It's not who we're dealing with. David's going to describe them in Psalm chapter 59. But now the Bible uses this word that they're prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord is doing something a little bit different here. This is not because these are yielded men unto God what's taking place. The Lord is protecting David in a most unusual way. Saul realizes the first group failed. He sends another one. Same thing happens to them. They get there. They're ready to kill David. They get in there. And the Spirit of the Lord takes over in their life as well. They send a third group, the exact same thing. And then you have King Saul even attempting it. He doesn't even get to the place where this is, and it already begins on him. Again, and King Saul, it's not that he was right with God right here. We're seeing something miraculous, a miraculous protection on David's life taking place. So now, let's go over this a little bit. As I'm going to break this down, we're looking at what the burden that David is going through at this time. Then we're going to look at the breaking of David, what the Lord is doing here with all that he is carrying with Saul trying to kill him, and then the blessing of how we see God protecting him. But first, let's get into the burden of David. Again, David certainly didn't do well when he sought counsel. He made a really good decision at that point when he was getting out of really, he had nowhere to go. I mean, he didn't know where to go. He decides he needs to let Samuel know what's going on. And there's always wisdom and counsel. I think it's, watch me get this wrong. Is it Proverbs chapter 1? Yeah, it'll work. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. He's seeking counsel. There's wisdom in that. And that's what David's doing right now. But nonetheless, it's certainly many times it can be very difficult to see the hand of God in your life during those troubled times. And David certainly is leading a very burdened life right now. Even though David is being used of God, he still has some tremendous trials that the guy is going through. Because you're being used of God, please don't think that excuses you from trials. That usually means you're heading into trials. It goes hand in hand many times. And so David is facing all these trials, primarily with King Saul. I mean, again, he has the army after him. The order is back that he gave at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 18, ordering everybody, even the servants, not only the army, kill him. I want him dead. You find him, kill him. That's the position he's in right now. That's where he's at. God allowed David to go through these difficult times. He had a reason for it. God was using these times to prepare David and to mold him. Remember, it's amazing how after he kills Goliath and all that was going on in Saul's life anyhow, even before Goliath, when the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, that he happens to put David in the very house that was going to be his. He puts him right there. He's learning from a man right now where the Spirit of God has departed. He's seeing what takes place. And, of course, along with that, he's going under a lot of trials. I found this, and I thought it fit right here. I'm going to read this. It said, pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till dark surges roll, pressed by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends, pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things, pressed into living a life in the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. Most think David, again, wrote Psalm 59 when he was fleeing here. Let's go to Psalm chapter 59. Let's get a glimpse into David's mind right here. Psalm Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgressions, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for who say they doth hear. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and their words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for the cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob, and the ends unto the ends of the earth. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. And you begin to see David's heart here where he was at. You begin to see his trust in the Lord. You begin to see really as the psalm develops and he's going through his trials, you see which the direction he begins to take it. And that is faith in God and trusting God to be his defense. Again, life does have burdens. It's part of it. But it is not a burden. Don't let your life be defined by one moment. Sometimes the burdens we carry are not from the Lord, but they're things the devil has put in our path and we have chosen to pick up. David here, once he leaves, decides to go see the preacher. He goes to see Samuel. Again, David had just snuck out of his house. He had nowhere to go. He decides to go see Samuel. No doubt he needed encouragement. No doubt he wanted somebody to tell him, David, it's going to be all right. God's anointed you. It's going to be all right. And he goes there, and I have no doubt he heard words just like that. So that was the burden he was carrying. Now let's look at his breaking a little bit here. The Lord certainly wanted to get David to a place of complete dependence upon him. He's establishing him to be the king in Israel at a difficult time. The Lord was preparing a king. He was preparing him, and he wanted a man that was going to be in leadership that would be completely dependent upon him. And the Lord had to use trials like this to get it to that place. The Lord certainly did not want all the victories that God was giving him to go to David's head. That hasn't happened yet, and the Lord certainly doesn't want that to take place. He doesn't want David to start getting the idea, look what I've done by my own hand. And these trials are reminding him of that, by the way. They're reminding him how frail he is and how quickly his life could end. Similar to what was going on with the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he had prayed and asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn in his flesh. But the Lord kept on telling him, no, listen, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul had learned that the thing that he was praying to be removed was actually a blessing in his life. The same thing is taking place here with David. David needed this foundation of dependence upon God if he was going to be used of God in a great way. He's going to be the leader. He's going to be the king. He's going to be the king of the nation that represents the Creator on the earth. And the Lord wanted a king that would be completely dependent upon him. You know, it's kind of like when you look at a skyscraper. You know, you can take the Empire State Building. That thing weighs a lot. It, probably much more than any of the skyscrapers of our day today, even though it's not nearly the size. You know, I'd read somewhere it's about 350,000 tons that thing weighs. So if it weighs that much, think of how big that foundation has to be. That has to be a massive foundation to hold that. Well, a lot of times that's what those trials are in our life. They're sort of serving as that foundation, that digging out time, getting down to the bedrock, if you will, so there's something to build upon in your life, especially if God's going to stand up something strong that's going to last. Again, it's also during those times of the breaking, those times of the trials, that we have to be careful where our thoughts go during those times. It's a dangerous time as well. It's during those times you can go one of two directions. And what determines that direction is where you allow your thoughts to go. We see from Psalm 59 where David was allowing his thoughts to go. David, in Psalm 59, is not writing down, "Why did I ever leave Bethlehem? What was I thinking? It was so much better there. Man, why did I leave Bethlehem? I cannot believe that." He didn't allow his thoughts to go there. I remember at times in the beginning of things getting tough, I had to stop that. Why did I leave Alaska? Why am I sitting here right now? And you just have to stop. You can't allow your thoughts to go there. You just have to, it just can't happen. So your thoughts during these difficult times are very important that they're under control and in the right direction. That's going to determine the spirit that you are in. Again, David kept his thoughts on God and God's deliverance in his life and how God was his shield, how God was his strength, and that he could trust in him. God uses difficult times to refine us. Look at Job chapter 23. Let's go to Job chapter 23. Job 23, and I'm going to look just at verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knows my way. He knows what I need. He knows my steps. He knows my life. He knows who I am. He knows what it'll take for my life. He has that perfect understanding. He knows my way. And it's through that, though, that he also uses here in context, that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's something to make me a vessel. You know, let's face it, what life is all about is being able to glorify God and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In this sinful body that we are in, this sinful mind that we are in, we have to think and our actions are through this, what we have. This is all we have to deal with. This is what we have. It's polluted. It's sinful. And so the only one that we can trust of how we're going to accomplish that is God. It's Him. I'm going to read also, you don't have to turn there, Isaiah 48:10. "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." David's going through a lot of that. It's a refining process of his life. It's something that the Lord wants to do. He wants to turn this into something that is right. He wants to mold him and make a person that is sharper, that is stronger, that will be able to make the right decisions as he leads God's nation. That will be able to make the right decisions as an example of a man following the Creator. You know, I'm sure all of us can look back in our life, you know, as we're going about serving God and looking at different times where, one, you didn't understand, and or maybe even did. A lot of times the understanding doesn't necessarily change the weight of the situation. It just doesn't. But there's times when you're there, and those are the times when you have to get to that point of trust in God to realize, you know what, He is my shield. He is my protector. He is my defender. And all of us have had those times like that. You know, I think 2.5 years ago when Levi goes all of a sudden limp in the space of being fine 1 hour and two hours later and just out of it, 104.5 fever. And trying to figure out what it is when it wasn't malaria now. And there's no doctor. And then you figure out what it is. From the nurses who are there, we figured it out, and you didn't like to hear what they just told you. And then they say, and we don't have the medicine for it. You know, those are times where you do say, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. There's times when you hear from a doctor things that you didn't plan on hearing. That's when you know God's in control. Say, Lord, You have a reason for this. You have a reason for it. Again, perhaps you're going through things right now, you don't understand why. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where genuine faith needs to come in. Your thought life is key to that. And I assure you, by the way, listen, just like with David, so we got Psalm 59. The Lord is very interested in where your thought life is going during that time. What is it that you're trying to cling to? That's part of the process He wants to change, to mold, to make. Now, there's different reasons why trouble comes. Number one, you make sure it's not chastisement. You make sure you're in God's will. Make no mistake about it, chastisement is real for the believer. If you don't have chastisement in your life when you sin against the Lord without repentance, you're not His. Period. Hebrews 12 gives no room about that. You're not His. If you're His because He loves you, He's going to chastise you. That's how this works. So one thing, ask the church of Corinth. Ask the church of Corinth. So one of the first things that I always look at is, okay, have I messed up here? Do I have unrepentant sin? Lord, am I not seeing something? And you go there, Lord. Is this chastisement? Let me. And Lord, search me, try my ways. And when you do that, by the way, listen. Listen. Other times it's like Job. Other times it's like what David was going through. Or what Paul went through. And the great thing about God is understand this. When I think of what Paul went through, it scares me to death what that guy went through. And of course, this is where it's you know, I realize that I'm a sissy. Because one, God won't ever put me through that unless He knows He's going to take me through that. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, He's not going to put more on me than what I can handle with where my walk is with Him. Now, I might get to heaven and realize my walk should have been a whole lot more, and He had a whole lot more for me. And because of a lack of faith, that could be a reality. I understand that. But what you can trust in is God's goodness towards you. He's not out for your destruction. He's not out just to see, what can I squeeze out of you? He's not like us. He actually, remember from 1 John? He actually loves us. So when He's doing this, It's for our good. Just like when I got to get Levi and get a paddle. And a parent doesn't enjoy that. Who enjoys spanking their kids? I wish Roy was here. I could have had fun with Roy right there. He'd be the only dad that would enjoy that. But you don't enjoy that. But you know it's necessary. I know it's necessary so I don't raise a brat that can rebel against God and think there's no consequences. And then we see the blessing here. David had a lot of burdens on him. He is, he's having to run from Saul. He's under a tremendous amount of pressure. And no doubt lacking understanding of why all this is taking place. But we also see the blessings here. And there's a few things I want to point out, first of all, of what's going on in David's life here. Things that did not protect him. First of all, his innocence did not protect him. We notice that in Psalm 59. This isn't for my sin, God. In other words, I'm not out of your will. This isn't chastisement. This isn't my sin. And yet all this is happening. Innocence does not guarantee protection. You can look at the newspaper tomorrow and you'll find articles of those who are innocent and their lives will be taken. Innocent does not guarantee protection. Nor does love. His wife loved him. But that certainly was not enough to protect him. Love certainly does work to protect, but there are times when our love simply cannot. As we see here with David, God's source of his protection was God himself. David, of course, recognized that as he was concluding through Psalm 59, as he was building up into that, how God was his protection. And God directly intervened to help David. Again, these were not, as they're coming into whatever was taking place here at the School of the Prophets, from everything I read, it points to really, they were singing at the time. And they came in and the Spirit of God directly intervened on David's behalf. They entered there not to sing hymns. They knew the establishment that they were entering, the School of the Prophets. They were going there for one reason, to kill David. That's why they were there. But as soon as they entered, the Spirit of God said, it ain't happening. It's not happening. And exactly what took place with him, I don't quite understand. But I know the Spirit of the Lord intervened, and they're basically all of a sudden singing with everybody else. And again, that goes through three times. That takes place. And then the bright one that King Saul was, he's going to take care of this himself. And he heads down. The Lord doesn't even allow him to get to the building. And it takes over on him. And he strips off what would be his... By the way, remember we talked about nakedness back in November. But it's his outer garments being stripped there. He's not stripped down with nothing on here. And he's fallen down with this. And the phrase they give there, by the way, isn't one... Is even Saul, where it finishes... Where is it at there? Where's my chapter? Is Saul among the prophets? That became a, this was used earlier. It was almost like a running joke, if you will. Is even Saul among the School of the Prophets? And they're witnessing what is taking place right here. They don't actually believe he is actually one of the prophets right now. It's sarcasm that's being used in light of the events that were getting ready to take place because they knew they were there to kill David. Now, all those in the School of the Prophets knew, because Samuel organized it. Man, he moved David down here. There was actually some hiding areas there too, which is one of the reasons, no doubt, why he chose that location. And Samuel says, we're having a service. And that was what the Lord used to intervene in David's life. Many times when the Lord does intervene, it's in a way we never would have thought. I mean, I would imagine like David was talking in Psalm 59 before that event took place. Lord's just going to strike him dead. And that's how he's going to intervene here. He's just going to make him blind. He's going to make him deaf. He's going to take their tongues. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know he's going to intervene. He didn't do that at all. I mean, he did a way that stopped them cold. It wasn't going to take place. And no doubt that was an event they never forgot what took place there that night. So we still see God protecting David there, looking after him. Even though in this life we can have many troubles, make no mistake about it, God's purpose is actually to bless. It's to help. That's what we have to stay focused on. You know who was great at that in the Bible? Joseph. Wasn't he amazing at that? I mean, the confidence and the rest that he had, that God was in control. You know, from being sold by his own brothers, they wanted to kill him first. Then just being sold, and then being falsely accused, and then being forgotten about in a prison. And the guy knew, I don't understand it, but this is what God has. And then it became clear. Isn't it fun to read through that, the account of Joseph in Genesis? It's one of the few places in the Bible I can't stop. I want to get to the part. I can't wait to get to the part where Joseph is there with his brothers. Not for the I got you. I can't wait to read the part where Joseph has to turn back and weep. He sees his brothers. And part of that weeping was he understood. He understood all that God did. It became clear in a single moment in time. Boy, many times that's exactly how God works. You stay faithful and you wait for Him. That's what you do. With heads bowed and eyes closed.